Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We are in chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. This is God's word. "When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, 'You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Here you have the Apostle Paul, who used to persecute Christians, standing up to Peter, who was the leading follower of Jesus. He and James were right at the forefront. And he's telling Peter to his face in front of other people, "What you're doing is wrong." Are you shocked? Are you at least surprised? I guarantee you the people there were surprised. They didn't say, "Oh, well, you know, we were wondering if he was going to say anything." No, they didn't know what to expect. You had, on the one hand, some Jewish people who had become believers in Jesus. And on the other hand, you had Gentile people who had become followers of Jesus. And as we said last time, the Gentiles were being told by some of the Jews, "You need to become Jews so that you can be real Christians." And they were getting it totally wrong. Paul is going to show us increasingly in this book that the purpose of the law was to show us our need for a Savior. Not everybody was a Jew, and not everybody had the Jewish revelation where God had revealed himself especially to them. But everybody everywhere has a conscience. Paul writes about this in Romans. And all of us do things that we know we shouldn't do. The guy out there in the jungle who's never heard of Jesus, never seen a Bible, never heard a message about the Lord, that guy out there is doing stuff he knows he shouldn't do. Now, sometimes he feels pretty good about himself because he thinks he did something right. But he is definitely, at other times, realizing I should not have done that. It's a universal experience. And so the law simply gave further clarity for the Jews that they needed a Savior sent from God. And they were blessed to be the people through whom the Savior came. Jesus is Jewish. That's shocking to a lot of Jews, but it's true. Jesus is Jewish. So were the guys who wrote the New Testament, including Paul, who's writing this. Well, what was this thing about eating? Well, under Jewish law, the Jews were not to eat with the Gentiles because they would become unclean. They would not be able to participate in those things that draw us closer to God if they were unclean. And so they worked very hard not to be unclean. But we can't really get clean. That's the problem. But these folks were trying to eliminate sin from their lives by following a bunch of rules. And as we said last time, the rule that was critically in view here was the idea that all the men needed to be circumcised. And Paul is writing this letter to say, not only don't be circumcised, but the reason is you don't want to do anything in an effort to clean yourself up so that God will save you. Well, but now suppose I am saved. Suppose I have trusted in Jesus Christ, in God's grace alone. Should I not seek to live a clean life, to do the right thing? Is it okay now, since I'm going to heaven, for me to live like I belong to the devil? Be a liar? Be a thief? Get drunk? Be sexually immoral? No. Paul tells the Corinthians, if you live that way, you are not going to heaven. God's people don't live that way. Well, do God's people ever sin? Yes. But what happens when a Christian sins is he's convicted by the Holy Spirit and wants to repent. When I sin, I need to repent, and I want to repent. I want to not only be forgiven, I want to change my behavior. I don't want to do that again. If you hit your thumb with a hammer, you don't say, well, I don't care. Yeah, you care. It hurts. And so the next time you're hammering, you are more careful so that you don't hit your thumb again, right? When people sin and sin and sin and sin and sin in the same thing over and over, you got to wonder what's going on. Why does it not bother them that they're doing the same thing over and over? If you have an area of your life where you are repeatedly sinning against God, don't just try not to think about it. You need to repent. But these folks, the Gentile believers, were being told by the Jewish believers, until you get circumcised, we can't eat with you. Now, Peter was eating with them and getting along just fine. God had already shown him with Cornelius and his household that it's okay now in Christ to be one big family. We're not Jews and Gentiles. We're followers of Christ. We're one body in Christ. Peter knew that. So he was living like it, fellowshipping with them, until some other people came along and exerted some peer pressure. Did you know that adults also are inclined to give in to peer pressure? Did you know that? We warn young people, don't give in to peer pressure. Don't give in to peer pressure. I'm telling you, even in nursing homes, people are still subject to peer pressure. I've seen it over and over and over again. Why are you doing it? Well, it's what everybody's doing.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the Postal Service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters, and we're trusting God to reward you. He promised He will.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
What Peter was doing was sinful because he was removing himself from fellowship with the Gentile believers who needed encouragement and love and discipling. He's pulling back from them, not going to eat with them because they're not circumcised. And he's doing that because he's afraid of the ones who came from Jerusalem. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. What was he afraid of? Their disapproval. He wasn't afraid that they were going to circumcise him again. He was already circumcised. He measured up to their standard as long as he didn't associate with people who didn't measure up. And so in order not to make these people think ill of him, he treated those people as if he thought ill of them. And not only did he do that, but then the other Jewish believers who were in Antioch, who had been having fellowship with the Gentile believers, decided, I guess we need to follow Peter's lead here. And even Barnabas pulled back following Peter's example, because Peter was very much a leader. So what did Paul do when he saw this? Paul went to these guys, the Gentiles, and he said, don't worry about them. I'll eat with you. That's not all he did. He went to Peter, and why did he rebuke him publicly? Because what Peter had done was public. Okay? If you are aware as a Christian of some other Christian who is involved in sin, the normal pattern is you go to them privately and you talk with them about what they're doing. And you do so lovingly and humbly, and you call them to repentance. And if they refuse to repent, then you go with a couple of witnesses, like a couple of the elders, and you confront them again. And you plead with them to repent. And if they still refuse to repent, then you go public with it. But this was not one of those situations. This was a situation where Peter, it didn't just happen once. Peter had now taken that church into a tragically hypocritical position of saying, Jews are not going to eat with those folks unless they get circumcised. That's what the people up in Jerusalem want, so we got to go by that. That was not the right thing at all. That conveyed a message that you have to obey the law in order to be saved. And that's a lie. That's an absolute lie. And who is the father of lies? Satan. So, did Paul go to him and say, Peter, I thought you were a Christian, but obviously not. You're just right back doing the same thing you did that night that I heard about when you denied Christ three times. Why did Peter do that? He was afraid. Why did he do this? He was afraid. If you live a life based on fear and you do things that are wrong because you're afraid to do what's right, there's a word for that. It's cowardice. And it's one of the things that God says is an abomination. What's the opposite of cowardice? Courage. It takes courage when other people are doing the wrong thing for you to say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to participate. Well, I'd like to be courageous, but I'm afraid I'm a coward at heart. You need a new heart then. Ask God to change you. Go to him and say, Lord, I know the right thing, but I tend to give in when other people are doing the wrong thing. I want you to not only forgive me, Lord, but I want you to change me. I want to have the courage to do what is right, even when everybody else is doing what's wrong. When I was a kid, we sang a song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And one of the verses said, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Why? Because every generation, every individual has to face this. And so Paul is not only writing this letter to establish clearly in the minds of the Galatian churches the fact that salvation is by grace through faith, but he's describing here a situation where he had to fight for that position in Antioch. And so he goes to Peter publicly rebuking him and saying to him, man, you don't follow the law. You're just caving on this one thing because you don't want to upset these folks. But by doing that, you're hurting these folks and you're hurting the witness of the gospel. So Peter did this because of cowardice. And what he did was, as described here, hypocrisy. It was hypocrisy. By the way, that's another one of the things that God says he hates. You see, cowardice can get you to do things that are really wicked. And hypocrisy is wicked. What is hypocrisy? It's when you pretend to be something that you're not. So like somebody who really isn't a follower of Christ, but they try and pretend that they are so that they'll, you know, be liked by the adults or whatever. Yeah, that would be an example. But when I was a teenager, I heard a sermon by one of my favorite preachers, Stephen Alford, in which his text was, woe unto you, ye hypocrites! And when he told me that's what he was going to preach, I thought, oh boy, this is great. He's going to put it to them tonight. And then he got up there and he started preaching and he put it to me. Because one of the things that he made abundantly clear is it's not just people who aren't Christian but pretend they are who are hypocrites. It's people who are Christians but they don't live like it because they don't want to upset those people. Ooh, ouch. The more he described that kind of hypocrite, the more I realized that's me. And so he invited us to repent. And at the end of the service, when he gave the invitation, I stayed in the second row. Why? Because I cared way too much about what people thought. And if you go forward on a night that the sermon was, woe unto you, ye hypocrites, what are people going to think you've got a problem with? Well, they're going to think, oh, I guess he was a hypocrite. So the hypocrite stayed in the second row. And we sang, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And I sang it all my heart. Loved to sing. We got to the end. A bunch of people had come forward. Dr. Alford said, "You've just sung, 'Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, just as I am, I come.'" If God's love has broken down every barrier, what stands between you and this altar? It was like a neon sign in my head saying, "Pride! Pride! Pride!" The reason I didn't go down was because I was still clinging to the sin of hypocrisy, worried about what other people would think of me. He said, "We're going to sing that one more time. And if you know you ought to come forward, you come." Now, I had already told God how grateful I was that the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. I knew my Bible. I could quote a lot. But I was using scriptures out of context in order to justify my not doing what God was telling me to do. So now I stood in the second row with tears rolling down my face and I couldn't sing. As I recall, a couple of other people came forward, but I didn't. Because that's how strong the enemy's grip was on me, even though I was a Christian. Do you know that Christians can be in bondage? Peter was a Christian. Peter was a Christian. He was an apostle. He had already been greatly used by God. But in this situation, he had caved. So Peter didn't need to get saved. He needed to repent. And that's why Paul confronted him. And that's why Stephen Alford was used by God to confront me. So you did go forward? Yeah, after the song verse was over. Dr. Alford said, "If you still know," and I mean, I'm in the second row and I've got tears going down, he can probably figure out what's going on. He said, "If you still know you should have come forward, you come even as we pray." So I slipped out and went up front and hoped no one would notice, except I knew the people on either side of me would. "Well, Pastor Wood, why are you telling us about your experience?" Because I don't want to be a hypocrite and make you think that I have always been a courageous follower of Jesus Christ. And whenever I encountered peer pressure, I have never given in. In fact, I think it was probably about 1964 the last time I sinned. No, that would not be the case. "Well, then, but you're a Christian, right?" "Yes." "And you know if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven?" "Yes." "On what basis?" "Because Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. And he conquered death so that I could have new life. And my hope, my only hope, is in him. And so even though I'm not sinless, sinless, I'm making progress. Even as an old man, I'm making progress. I'm growing in my walk with God. I'm learning not to be a coward. I'm learning not to be a hypocrite. I'm learning not to be so selfish. I want to please the one who gave his life for me. And I plead with you to join me in this journey of surrender based on trusting the one who came to save us."
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.